Morning. The reading is taken from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 22. The ten healed of leprosy. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thank you.
So let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you that we find new life in you. Thank you for this account of new life. And as we look at your word, as we remember that you are with us this morning, would you meet with us and lead us into new life in you? We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have got a Bible in front of you, please do have it open. We're in Luke chapter 17. We're working our way through some of the lectionary readings, the readings that are set by the Church of England. And it just happens to be this reading this morning that we look at. Now, I was, Nick and I were with some friends a week or two ago, and we were reminiscing about the pandemic, about that time when we were socially distanced from each other, when we couldn't meet. And we were just saying, wasn't it a weird time? Isn't it a weird thing to think now that we went through that? And we did some of those things that we were told to do. I can't believe some of the things that we had to do in terms of keeping away from each other. And we learned some new words, didn't we? They became very normal to us. Words like lockdown. I don't think I used the word lockdown an awful lot before the pandemic. Social distancing. It sounds a bit cold and harsh, doesn't it? Social distancing. Living in bubbles. If you went around talking about living in bubbles before the pandemic, people would have thought you were a bit odd, wouldn't they? What a very strange idea. But of course it made perfect sense, didn't it? And quarantine, all those kind of words. Weird times, strange times. Well, in this Bible passage that we've got today, we read about these 10 men who are ill with leprosy. And they know a thing or two about social distancing. They certainly do. We're going to look at what we can learn from this little passage. And I want to suggest there's 3 scenes to this passage. There's scene 1, where the 10 men are far away. There's scene 2, where Jesus comes nearby. There's scene 3, where one man falls at the feet of Jesus. From being far away to Jesus coming close to one man falling at the feet of Jesus. So first of all, far away. Thanks, Joe. So our 10 men who've got leprosy, as I've said, they would have known a thing or two about social distancing. Leprosy in the Bible covers a whole number of skin diseases. And the general belief was that if somebody had had leprous skin, then they were considered unclean. They couldn't stay in society. They couldn't stay with people. Something was very wrong with them. They had to be banished. Also, leprosy, or certain types of leprosy, would have been highly contagious. So it would have made sense to have that social distancing aspect as well. But it must have been an awful thing to go through, to be banished, to be kept at the edges of society, to be looked down on. And these men with leprosy, they would have been kept from spending time with their family, with their friends. During the pandemic, I had COVID at one point, and we weren't allowed, nobody in the house was allowed to go to the supermarket. Do you remember those days when if one person was ill in the house, nobody could go and do the food shopping. So a friend of mine from church went and got our food shopping and brought a couple of bags, left them on the doorstep, knocked on the door, and then ran down the driveway onto the road. Do you remember this happening? And I would open the front door and say, thanks very much for dropping that round. With this massive gap between us, he could not come near me and I could not go near him. These 10 men, they're banished. There's this huge gap. They are out of reach. This huge chasm between them and everybody else. And that would have included Jesus. I wonder if you've ever felt that sense of separation since the pandemic, but maybe in other ways, that sense of not really feeling part of something, just feeling distant from what's going on. It might be that you're sitting here in church this morning, feeling a bit distant from what's going on. Not sure, really, whether this is a place where you could belong or not. It's a state that a lot of people live in, I think, feeling cut off, separated, including feeling far away, far off from God. The Bible speaks of a condition that we all have that causes that separation. We've already referred to it in baptism and in our prayer of confession. This condition that separates us from God, it's not a skin condition, it's not a skin disease, but it's a very real dis-ease that is within all of us. And the Bible calls it sin. It's when we walk in opposition to God's ways. It's when we reject him. It's when we don't turn to Jesus, we turn away. It's when we give in to the selfish wants and desires that we all have inside of us, and we look after ourselves instead of others. We listen to our own clever ideas instead of looking to God to show us how to live. This is what the Bible calls sin, and it leads to us being separated from God. Like there's a huge chasm between us and God. And it's a chasm that we cannot bridge. We cannot get over it, and we cannot reduce it. This reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke. Luke was a doctor. And there's a word that Dr. Luke uses in his gospel quite a lot. He uses it more than the other gospel writers do. It's a Greek word, and it's sozo. Some of you might have heard of it. Sozo can mean a couple of different things, really. It can mean to heal. Of course, Dr. Luke would have been very interested in that word, to heal, to make well. It can also mean to save, to free, to save, to heal and to save. And Dr. Luke, who writes this gospel, he writes it because he wants people to know that Jesus, the Son of God, is the healer and the savior that the world has been waiting for, the world has been looking for, longing for, that Jesus has come to heal and save all people, if only they will cry out to him, help me, if only they will come to him. I want to say this morning, friends, this is good news. If you feel far from God this morning, if you feel far away, hear this. The good news of Jesus, the one who heals and saves, is for you. It's for all people. It is for those who are far off and far away. That's scene one. The group of men are far away, distant, and they hear Jesus is approaching. Jesus is coming nearby. Thank you, Joe. That's scene two. Jesus comes nearby. Now, Jesus is traveling on his way to Jerusalem. It's slightly odd that he would take this route and go along the border between Samaria and Galilee, as it says in verse 11. Because as a Jew, Jesus was a Jew. As a Jew, he would do all he could to avoid the Samaritans. They weren't friends with the Samaritans, the Jews. They would avoid them, and they did not think highly of them at all. They thought very low of them. But Jesus doesn't go along with that. Jesus comes near to Samaria, where the Samaritans are. And our 10 friends with leprosy, they hear Jesus is nearby, and it says they start shouting out to him in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, Have pity on us. Have mercy on us. Maybe they'd heard rumors about Jesus performing amazing miracles of healing in that locality. Back in chapter 5 of Luke's gospel, we're in chapter 17 today. Back in chapter 5, Luke records Jesus healing one man of leprosy. He touches him, something you should never do, not in that culture. Jesus touches him and heals him of leprosy. Maybe our 10 friends with leprosy have heard about that, and maybe they're thinking, Jesus has done this for somebody else. I wonder if he'll do it for me. I wonder if he'll do it again. So they hear Jesus is approaching. He's coming nearby. And they reckon, from what they've heard about Jesus, not only is he approaching, but he is approachable. And so they cry out. They keep a bit of distance still. They cry out in a loud voice, Jesus, have mercy, have pity on us. I wonder if you've ever cried out to God in that place of desperation. Jesus, would you have mercy on us, on this situation, on my family, on my friends, on that country, of what's happening over there in the world? Would you have mercy? Would you come in? Would you help? It's often when we're at our very lowest point that we meet Jesus. Maybe it's because we are so desperate. Maybe we're more open. I've heard it said that there are only really two prayers that most people pray. The first prayer is help, and the second prayer is thank you. Help and thank you. I wonder if that's your prayer today, help. Lord Jesus, would you break in? I know you're nearby. Would you break in? These 10 men, they cry out to Jesus, have mercy on us. In this case, Jesus doesn't touch them. He doesn't say anything. The thing about Jesus is he does things as he wants to. He doesn't always conform to what we think he's going to do. He just says to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And off they go. By telling them to go and show themselves to the priests, what Jesus is saying is, go and see if I've healed you. Maybe go and see if I will heal you. At what point does he heal them? Well, Luke says, as they went, they were cleansed. And the reason he sends them to the priests is the priests are the ones who will decide, you are clean, you may be back in society. You are not clean, you are unclean, you are to be apart and separate. It's the priest's job to decide that. That's why they go to the priests. And as they go, as Luke simply puts it, as they went, they were cleansed. There's something about encountering Jesus that changes us and that cleans us, or at least starts to clean us. Encountering Jesus is like encountering soap and water for the first time. It's like walking under a shower of water. Something happens when we encounter Jesus. He starts to clean us up. I didn't grow up going to church, didn't grow up in a Christian family. I encountered Jesus when I was in my late teens. And one of the first things Jesus did in my life to clean me up was to clean up my language. I was an habitual swearer and blasphemer. My language was not pretty. It was habitual. It had gone on for years like that. I encountered Jesus, and overnight, just like that, my language, my mouth was clean. That doesn't just happen. That's the miraculous work of Jesus. And he did other things at that time, and he is still working on me to this day, cleaning me. It's why we celebrate baptism. It's why we baptized Lucas this morning. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus cleans us. As he died, as he hung on that cross dying, he took upon himself the grubbiness of our sin, the grubbiness that's within us that we're ashamed of. He took it upon himself, died, and rose to new life And then invites us to leave our old grubby life behind and walk with him in this new life, this clean life. Yes, we still get it wrong. And we come back again and again like we did this morning and trust that he forgives us and cleans us. Baptism is an outward sign of a deep inner work that God longs to do in each one of us, in you and in me. So we've had scene one. The men are far away. Scene two, Jesus comes nearby and the men are cleansed. And then scene three, this last scene, one of them comes back, just one, and throws himself at the feet of Jesus. Thanks, Joe. I wonder what made him come back. Maybe he's praying that other prayer now. Well, he is. He's gone from praying help. If we look in verse 15 and verse 16, he comes back praising God in a loud voice, throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. He's praying. He's saying, thank you. Once he was far away, and now look where he is, in this intimate place at the feet of Jesus. This chasm that existed is totally gone. He's at the feet of Jesus, touching his feet and thanking him and praising God. Luke presents this account of what happened and he just drops in here an absolute bomb for those who are listening. An absolute bomb. The man threw himself at Jesus' feet, thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Remember what I said about Samaritans? Those who were listening would have been horrified at this. Why is this man being singled out? It's like Jesus is holding this man up as an example, as this is found in Scripture. Jesus doesn't hold up a holy priest or one of his own people, a Jew, or somebody who's got something respectable about them. But Jesus holds up this man who was an outcast, who was banished to the edges of society, and was a Samaritan, just to make it even worse. The lowest of the low. This is the one that Jesus invites to his feet. This is why Luke wrote this gospel, Dr. Luke, so that we and all people might know that Jesus, the Son of God, came to be healer and savior to all people, including those who feel far off, who know they don't deserve this kind of mercy. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the kind of person I am. Jesus does. And he draws close. And he comes to cleanse us and to heal us and to save us. So our healed leper, our Samaritan man, is at the feet of Jesus praising God. And Jesus looks down at him. And in verse 19, he says to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. And there's two words here, I just want to pull out this phrase, rise and go, your faith has made you well. First word is rise. Those who are listening to Luke at the time would have known straight away that the word Jesus uses for rise is very closely linked to resurrection. Very closely linked to resurrection. Jesus, who died for our sins on the cross, who rose to new life, says to this healed leper, now you rise. Now you be resurrected into new life. Leave that grubby old life behind and walk in new life. And he says the same to you. And he says the same to me today. If only we will shout out to him for help. If only we will come and fall at his feet and trust in him and look to him. That's the first word, rise. The second word in this phrase, rise and go, your faith has made you well, is that Greek word that I mentioned before, sozo. Sozo, your faith has made you well. That's what that word is that's used there. Because this man's trusted in Jesus, He's been healed and saved. He's been sozoed. Previously, he was banished. He was far away. Previously, I would guess he was living in great pain, physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, banished from worship. And Jesus heals him and saves him from it. Rise. Rise up and go. Your faith has made you well. Can you imagine what this man felt like as he stood up and walked off into his new life, a new man? Well, it's hard to believe that we lived through those COVID times, the pandemic, and most of us have got used to normal life again, haven't we? Although not everyone. I think that time of social distancing had a really negative impact on many people. We see it in children and young people at the moment. We see it in older people who've struggled to get back to normal life for various reasons. It's not good for us to be far away, is it? It's not good to be far away from others. And I want to say this morning, it's not good for us to be far away from God. That we were made to be in relationship with the living God. But by our own failing, that sin causes that gap, separates us from God. It's not good for us to live away from God. Look at the state of the world. Look what happens when people decide what they think should be done. People in this country are starting to realize this. People in this country and other parts of the world are starting to ask, surely there must be a better way to live than this. This story, this way of living that society and culture is throwing at us. Do what you want to do, be what you want to be. People are starting to say, surely there's a better way to live than this. People are starting to come back to church. We are seeing it all over the country, and we see it here in Withall. People just turning up. There'll be some people here today. I've been thinking about coming to church, and I've finally come this morning. I'm just curious. I'm just searching. There must be some better way to live than the way that the world is telling me at the moment. The Christian message that Luke, Dr. Luke, wants to make really clear is that once we were all far off, and because of that, Jesus came nearby to cleanse us, to heal and save us, to reduce that chasm and to bring us back to God. And the only right response to that is to fall at the feet of Jesus. In surrender, in trust, in worship, thanking God for what only God can do in Jesus. Jesus is our sozo, our healer, and our saviour. So the invitation this morning is simply to come to Jesus. It might be that you feel far off, far away. It might be that you sense Jesus is close, and there's just that one word prayer for you: help. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Help. Or it may be that you're in that place where you can fall at his feet and thank him. Thank him for what he's done in bringing you to God, in restoring you, in bringing you to new life, clean life with him. That you may belong with him. Let's just pray. Let's invite you guys to come to the front as we pray. Lord Jesus, in our first service earlier this morning, we were just pondering on the fact that you know all about us. And that terrifies us in one way, because you know the depths of our hearts. The things that we dare not tell anybody else. But you know us and you love us. And nothing in us will repel you from us. Nothing from us will make you change your mind. You are positioned to love us. You know us all deep within. And some of us here this morning, Lord, We feel far away. We feel like we do not belong. We're watching from a distance. I pray that you'd show yourself to us, Lord, if we're in that place. Some of us know that you're nearby, and we're desperate to see you move, Lord. We're desperate to see you break through. That prayer, help. Lord, would you hear us as we pray this morning? And some of us, Lord, are just ready to throw ourselves at your feet in adoration and trust to worship you because you have healed us and saved us. And you are healing us and saving us today. So help us to come. Help us to just take that step of faith to trust you, to find new life in you. Amen.